Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, we ask you to give wisdom today concerning the things that are coming. You've been speaking to us quite a bit, and we ask that we are able to discern everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I'm going to talk to you today about Trump and the man-child's new economy. And this first revelation I'm going to share with you, Trump defeats big tech and China. And this was given to Winnie Asagueta on 9/14/21. And when he said, I dreamt that I was at the front door of my mom's apartment building in New York. And it was noticeably very white. Well, spiritually speaking, Jesus is the front door to the church or the sheepfold. And he is represented by Winnie's mom. The church is represented by Winnie's mom. Those apostate preachers who come up another way are thieves and robbers, according to Jesus, when he spoke of the sheepfold. And but he was the shepherd. She said it's an apartment building because it requires sanctification to dwell there. But also, let me say, the apartment, I'm going to use apart/ment, could represent the religious sects and divisions in the church, which need healing. And it is noticeably whiter because God is cleaning up his church for these end times, and he will use a sanctified bride to do this, just like he did in Jesus' day. All right, and the door frame was painted in bright, right-leaning diagonal stripes of blue and red. Yep, you heard it right. Bright, right-leaning diagonal stripes of blue and red on the door frame. Okay. And the Lord, who is the door to the sheepfold, is causing a right-leaning of the red, white, and blue, because it was on a white building, so it would have been red, white, and blue, which seems to show America and the church here is leaning more to the right. This will be especially so after the declass of the Trump administration. I believe it's a Trump administration, by the way, of the deep state. And this will be done over the new broadcast system, emergency broadcast system. And this also reminded me of the barber's pole. The barber's pole's colors are a legacy of a long-gone era when people went to barbers not just to get a haircut or a shave, but also for bloodletting and other medical procedures. Sounds like it's crazy, but that's what they did. And during the Middle Ages, bloodletting, which involved cutting open a vein and allowing blood to drain, was a common treatment for a wide range of sicknesses, from sore throat to plague to whatever, you know. And since Jesus, the Passover lamb, sacrificed his blood on the cross for us and took away our curses, we no longer have to live under the curse of sin and of death, and we can give up our spiritual bloodletting. That goes on in the church too, you know. The look of the barber pole is linked to bloodletting, with red representing the blood and white representing the bandages used to stem the bleeding. Job 5:17-25 says, "Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth, Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty, for he maketh sore, and he bindeth up. He woundeth, and his hands make whole. He will deliver thee in six troubles, yea, in seven there shall no evil touch thee. In famine he will redeem thee from death, and in war from the power of the sword. And thou shalt be hid from the scourge of the tongue. Neither shalt thou be afraid of destruction when it cometh. At destruction and dearth thou shalt laugh. Neither shalt thou be afraid of the beasts of the earth. For thou shalt be in league with the stones of the field, and the beasts of the field shall be at peace with thee. And thou shalt know that thy tent is in peace, and thou shalt visit thy fold, and shall miss nothing. And thou shalt know also that thy seed shall be great, and thine offspring as the grass of the earth. Well, the pole itself is said to symbolize the stick that a patient squeezed to make the veins in his arm stand out more prominently for the procedure. In Europe, barber poles traditionally are red, white, and while in America, the poles are red, white, and blue. One theory holds that the blue is symbolic of the veins cut during bloodletting, while another interpretation suggests blue was added to the pole as a show of patriotism and a nod to the nation's flag. Much of the modern-day church has a spirit of patriotism, and their motto is God and Country, which they worship and in many cases will die for. That's not the call of the church. And so back to Winnie's dream. She said, I was about to go in and turned a bit to the right. There you go, that turning to the right again. To notice behind me a large poster of President Trump from his chest up, suspended in the air. Well, we know that Father is using Donald Trump as a modern-day Cyrus to supernaturally, although temporarily, free his people from bondage to Babylon so that his purposes for his elect in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation will stand, and the deep state will not be able to bring the mark of the beast before its time appointed by God. Yes, I know about the mark in the vaccines. Okay, there's a bigger one coming. This is a meantime thing, I think. And it comes in the middle of the tribulation period, by the way. There was a caption in large white letters at the top above his head. And although the words were in broken English, almost like code, I understand what it said. I didn't remember the words verbatim, but I remember it saying that Trump was going to defeat Big Tech and China. And I believe this. I believe he's well into the process of doing this. And this just means that the Communist Babylon Tech Alliance is going to be defeated by Cyrus. Recently, there was a leaked Zoom call between Mark Zuckerberg and his board members that was released by a Facebook whistleblower. He was conspiring with Dr. Fauci to censor information concerning the mRNA injections and also discussing how to lie to people about the injection's ability to alter their DNA structure, which it does. So they want to cover all this up. They want to cover up that they don't put notices on the bottle when they give people shots. There's nothing telling you what's in there. We found out, though, what's in there, and it's all bad. I then opened the door to the apartment building and went up the stairs to the second floor where my mom's apartment is. My mom's apartment reminded me more of Jeff and Sandy's house than her apartment. this place where we meet in local UBM is increasingly in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, hence going up the stairs. Tyombi and another person were sitting on a couple of chairs when I walked in, and I asked Ty if she wanted to take a shower first. And she said yes. But first, she wanted to share a dream that she had of Trump. And then I woke up. Well, we are all getting washed up to be chosen as the bride before the Trump and man-child revelations and the soon-coming wilderness tribulation. And thank you, Father, for what you're doing. It's all good. Yes, there will be bad, but it is all for the good. Amen. And I asked the Lord for two words for this dream and received by faith at random, Matthew 27 and 19. And while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. Well, I think this is pointing to the timing of Trump's conquering of the Babylonians and communists as when the beast is judging the body of Christ and when the man-child is to be crucified and caught up to the throne. All of the elements are there, right? And she got this too, Daniel 7:15. As for me, Daniel, in 15 and 16, right away, as for me, Daniel, my spirit was grieved in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth concerning all of this. And he told me, and he made me know the interpretation of the things. Well, let me just say that the parables of the end time beasts and what they do are going to be revealed. He sought out the revelation of this. We just received these texts by faith at random, which are a good revelation of what's going to happen. Mark 4:33 and 34 says, And with many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. And without a parable spake he not unto them, but privately to his own disciples he expounded all things. Now we've noticed in the last few years God is speaking increasingly about these end time things in parables. And of course that's to hide things from the wise and prudent and reveal it unto babes. What is hidden from the beast also will be revealed to God's people by their visions and dreams that are also parables. So God is speaking. He's hiding some things. So is the war between Trump and the deep state. They're hiding many things. They speak in codes all the time. And Q is one is famous for doing these code things, you know. But it's being revealed to people what's going on. And I guess they do this because the deep state, like the faction in the church, are very stupid. I mean, they cannot perceive what's happening. So here's another one of these texts that we received by faith at random, which goes along with this, Jeremiah 51:34-37. Now this is a certainty. The things that have been are the things that shall be, and this is a certainty. Nebuchadrezzar, the king of Babylon, hath devoured me. And that was speaking, of course, through the people of God. He hath crushed me. He hath made me an empty vessel. Yes, world Babylon has crept into the church, and it is a religious Babylon, right? And it's very empty. There's nothing in there that could possibly be a threat to the enemy, right? He hath like a monster swallowed me up. He hath filled his maw with my delicacies. He hath cast me out. The violence done to me and to my flesh be upon Babylon, shall the inhabitant of Zion say. And my blood be upon the inhabitants of the Chaldeans, shall Jerusalem say. Therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will plead thy cause and take vengeance for thee. I will dry up her sea, that's Babylon, and make her fountain dry. Oh boy, I tell you, Trump is drying up their resources for sure, like never seen. Verse 37 goes on to say, and Babylon shall become heaps, a dwelling place for jackals, an astonishment, and a hissing, without inhabitant. Yes, Babylon deep state is being destroyed as we speak. Another one we just got. God brought Cyrus. I'm speaking about this text first. He brought Cyrus as a type of Trump and his army upon the satanically ruled kingdom to utterly destroy it. And here's the text, Jeremiah 51, 54 through 58. The sound of a cry from Babylon, there's your deep state, and of a great destruction from the land of the Chaldeans, it's happening. For the Lord layeth Babylon waste, and destroyeth out of her the great voice. How many of you have heard that these are a small minority of very vocal people wanting you to believe that they have the majority in the United States, which they don't. And their waves roar like many waters. The noise of their voice is uttered, for the destroyer is come upon her, even upon Babylon. And her mighty men are taken. Their bows are broken in pieces. This is true. They're taking away their weapons. For the Lord is a God of recompenses. He will surely requite. Notice he knows that he's using Cyrus to do this, but it's the Lord doing it. He is taking credit for this. No man could have done this. This is so thoroughly throughout the whole system that to root this out would be totally impossible. And I will make drunk her princes and her wise men. You'll recognize that happened in Daniel. Her governors and her deputies and her mighty men, and they shall sleep a perpetual sleep and not awake, saith the king. Yep, in that night, you know, when they were drinking from the vessels of the Lord's house and getting drunk, Cyrus came in the night and took Babylon, whose name is the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the broad walls of Babylon shall be utterly overthrown. In other words, they won't have any protection. And her high gates shall be burned with fire. And the people shall labor for vanity, and the nations for the fire, and they shall be weary. Yes, the nations are weary of Babylon's rulership. They all know about Babylon, what she's done, the wars that she started, the murdering of the babies and sacrificing of the babies and all the evil things that they do to get power and so on. The world knows about it and the world is mad, as the scripture says. And Ezra 6 and 3 says, in the first year of Cyrus the king, parallel to Trump, made a decree concerning the house of God at Jerusalem. Let the house be builded, the place where they offer sacrifices, and let the foundations thereof be strongly laid, and the height thereof 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 60 cubits, and with 3 courses of great stones, and a course of new timber, and let the expenses be given out of the king's house. And that's happening too. And it's about to happen in a big way. Cyrus provided all the funds necessary for the building of the king's house. And since the king's house was destroyed when Babylon conquered them, it has to be rebuilt. And the people coming out of Babylon went there to rebuild it. And one of the first ones you read about is the man-child in Haggai, Zerubbabel. And Zerubbabel, in his Sheshbazzar name, which was his court name under the king, was given the funds to go and rebuild. And also let the gold and silver vessels of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took forth out of the temple, which is at Jerusalem, and brought unto Babylon, be restored, and brought again to the temple. Now that symbolizes, of course, the people of God, who are holy, going to the temple in Jerusalem, which is the bride, and they're going there to rebuild, which is at Jerusalem, everyone to its place, and thou shalt put them in the house of God. Oh, yes. And this one, this is Obadiah 1 and 6. How are the things of Esau searched? How are his hidden treasures sought out? Well, we know Esau's seed were Judas's to his brother Israel. Esau and his seed were Judas's to Israel, the chosen seed. And they're going to be conquered by the Davids, as in Scripture. And the David-Trump parallel brings down Judas's in the church and the state, so that we can see that these people are, you know, not working for America, to build America, to provide for America, and so on. They are traitors. Trump is working on that end, and the Davids are working on the Judases in the church. All the men of thy confederacy have brought thee on thy way. That's the Edomites. That's Esau's seed, right? Even to the border, the men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee and prevailed against thee. They that eat thy bread lay a snare unto thee. There is no understanding in him. And literally, we call them the stupid spirits because they've lost all understanding. And as you can see in the political realm, too, everybody knows, how stupid is this? You know, that's those demons. And these demons, of course, were given them to them by God in a reprobation, right? Well, the larger text in Winnie's confirmation in Daniel 7, which we departed from for just a minute to give these confirmations, it reveals that the seed of the individual beasts are joining together in covenant to make the corporate end-time beast, a one-world order, in order to destroy their common enemy, the deep state Babylon. Did you understand that? Notice, I don't know if you know, but all the armies of the world are coming together to destroy their local deep state Babylon. Oh yes, they're practicing, and they're doing all these things, preparing for war, and so on and so forth, but when it comes down to it, that's what those armies are going to be doing. That way they could get on the field and nobody would suspect what they're doing. But that's what's happening. In Daniel 7, 17 through 21, these great beasts, which are four, Daniel spoke of four. He didn't speak of the previous kingdoms to the one he was in, Babylon. Beasts which are four kings that shall rise out of the earth. Now, let me say that this is true throughout history. They have risen out of the earth. And it's also true in the end times, spiritually, they're rising. We're seeing now the Medo-Persian Empire conquer Babylon. We're seeing that now. However, it happened in history too. That's right. So, verse 19, then I desired to know the truth concerning the fourth beast, which was diverse from all of them. because the seed of all seven heads or beasts are in it. That's why it's different from the rest. It is a corporate body beast, like all the characters in the book of Revelation are corporate bodies. Most people don't know that. It's like the bride is a corporate body, the woman, the man-child, the harlot, the false prophet, the two witnesses, because they are worldwide entities. Yes, we're not dealing with the Middle East anymore. We're dealing with worldwide people of God. Okay, so God has this larger picture being shown in the book of Revelation. So exceedingly terrible, this different beast, the fourth beast, whose teeth were of iron and its nails of brass, which devoured, break in pieces, and stamped the residue with its feet. Yes, they have had their way for a long, long time. And concerning the ten horns that were on its head, those are the ten continental divisions of earth. That's what this beast has been over. And also the beast in the book of Revelation. And the other horn which came up, and before which three fell, even that horn had eyes and a mouth that spake great things, whose look was more stout than its fellows. Well, what are the eyes of the people of God, the prophets? Okay. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. Yes, prevailed against their flesh is what really happened, a crucifixion. So now we're going to jump to another revelation given to Marie Kelton, and we called it Dragon Faction Attempting to Destroy the Food. Yes, this is part of their war against the people to bring them under submission. In this dream, I was in Food City grocery store, and there was a Spinosaurus going through the building. It was huge, and it was as tall as the ceiling. Well, Spinosaurus means spine lizard, and it is the largest of all known meat-eating dinosaurs, even larger than Tyrannosaurus Rex. If you look it up, by the way, you'll probably see videos, several different kind, where Spinosaurus conquered Tyrannosaurus and ate him. It is believed to have primarily fed on large fish. This is based on the elongated skull, like a crocodile, with spear-like teeth, and the location of the nostrils, which were high on the snout, so that he could fish with his snout in the water. And this dragon-looking beast wants to devour all flesh, and especially the seed of the woman in Revelation 12, where it is called Satan. It is Satan in a body, and the body is all lost mankind. There is a Christ and there is an Antichrist, right? The deep state are Satanists. The UBM is considered, I think, a large fish to Satan, which is continually a prime target. Not because we're so large, but because of speaking truths that the devil does not want out there. So he uses his faction to try to bring it all down, and failed. It was roaring loudly, she said, and causing havoc throughout the whole store. And then I woke up. In the natural, the dragon system with its deep state leadership are causing mass food shortages in order to control the populations of the world and force them to take the vaccines with their mark, and eventually the full mark of the beast is coming in the middle of the tribulation. But in parallel, the religious faction dragon seeks to devour the man-child in Revelation 12 and the woman church. And they are warring against us to destroy the spiritual food of our gospel materials and our workers, with the dreamers who identify them in their works. They war especially with witchcraft against these to try to bring them down. And this is, of course, in order to save their master's kingdom. Here's a revelation given to Vanessa Weeks on 9/17/21. We called it, "The Davids Are In." Okay. Vanessa said, "I had this dream this morning, and I believe it is like what David said. The faction demons want to stop the gospel from getting out." Yes, that's true. Because they're working for their father. "I dreamed I saw David sitting at his computer recording a broadcast. And behind him was a tree full of very green leaves." And you know what leaves are. Leaves are like people. They receive the light of the sun, the S-O-N, and put out oxygen for breath and spirit for the water of the word. So they are a parable of those of true disciples. Psalm 1:1-6 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the wicked, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the streams of water, that bringeth forth its fruit in its season." And here's the part I want you to see. "Whose leaf also doth not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Well, let me say that a lot of the leaves do wither in tribulation, which is winter. They wither. And in the parable of the sower, too, 3 out of 4 withered, 1 bore fruit, right? So it's still that way today. These are all people in the parable of the sower, by the way, who received the word. And some of them were very excited. Well, it goes on to say, "The wicked are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away." Yes, we've been seeing them driven away. "And therefore the wicked shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous." Notice, the sinners are not going to be able to stand in a congregation of righteous people. They are driven out by God, like Ananias and Sapphira were. "For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall perish." We also just received this by faith at random in our morning prayer meeting. The same text that I just read. Interesting how God confirms things. "I was listening to this broadcast at home with my earbuds," Vanessa said, "and I was hearing this in real time, not after it was recorded." Well, that's pretty neat. I believe this is meaning that it is happening now in real time. Father is answering our prayers and protecting us, as well as the materials and the computers and the email system that we have to use to spread the gospel. "I knew in the dream that the powers that be were trying to stop or hinder the broadcast from getting out." You can't imagine how much they've tried to do that. "Then I saw David adjusting some knobs on his computer. Then he said in a victorious voice, 'Yes, I'm in.'" Okay. Through revelation from God, we do hack into anything the enemy is doing, and we overcome their evil plans because we know where they're going. Nothing will stop the advancement of the kingdom of God. I've read the end of the book, and we win, right? She said, "I knew in the dream that this meant the broadcasts were now in a place that no one could touch." The David's are in the man-child body and will be heard over the worldwide Starlink satellite system. Some of you may not know about that, but it is being raised up to take the place of the deep state satellite system. And they're fixing to overrule them and bring them down. But also, God is creating this in order to get the gospel out to the whole world. Well, we've had several revelations of UVM reaching the world through satellite systems, and I'll just share one of them with you, and then we'll go back to her revelation, okay? We call this one, David's Will Preach the Word from Heaven, and this was given to Brad on 8508. I dreamt there were a bunch of us believers gathered in a hallway of what felt like my old high school. There were even lockers built into the walls. Everybody was talking and enjoying one another's company. The reason we were all hanging out was because we were waiting for the Bible study to start. This particular study was going to be different and had everyone particularly excited because David was going to be broadcasting from a plane. This speaks of the different heavenly anointing that we're excitedly expecting, right? It was going to be a small one, like a two-seater, but he was hanging out with us for a few minutes while he waited for the plane to arrive. And in the dream, I wasn't sure why David was going to be broadcasting from a small plane, but I didn't think about it much because I was enjoying David's and the others' company too much to care. Well, I believe David here represents the first fruits end time Davidic corporate man-child in whom Jesus lives through his anointed word and spirit. The plane is the overcoming the world through the throne of God and heavenly anointing of the latter rain that will be given to them first. It's given to the man-child first, just as the former rain was given to Jesus first. This word preached from an airplane, which comes down out of heaven, is what breaks the yoke and sets the captives free. Jesus, as the man-child, was a type of this end-time repetition of his story. And I again use a dash there. It's his story. It's a repetition of his story throughout the earth. When he said things like John 14 and 24, "The word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." Or 663, "It is the Spirit that giveth life, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I have spoken unto you are spirit and are life." Well, this anointing will begin with the first fruits, but it will spread throughout the true body of Jesus before his natural coming. This is the plan. Jesus prepared a people to meet God. And so Jesus and the man-child is going to do the exact same thing. As the word teaches, he's going to come in his people as an epiphania, it's called. It's a shining forth from. He's going to come in his people in the shining forth of this glory of God, right? Before he comes naturally, which is called a parousia. We just received by faith at random in our morning prayer, Isaiah 66 and 9. People tend to join these two words thinking that they're synonymous, and they are not. They mean a totally different thing. One of them is him coming in his people. One of them is coming for his people. So we got this random verse, Isaiah 66:9. Shall I bring to birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord? Shall I that cause to bring forth shut the womb, saith thy God? So the man-child ministry is about to be birthed. Planes, angels, and birds have a similar meaning spiritually when we speak of preaching from heaven. It was an angel of God that guided Israel into the wilderness of safety from the beast kingdom. That was in Exodus 12, 37, 13, and 20, and 14, and 19. And I believe God's angels will do this for UBM and the saints all over the world. Also, there is another type of angel or messenger, same word, right? Angelos, that will guide God's people to their wilderness refuge during the tribulation. We've got dreams about the angels guiding people to their wilderness place, okay? And that's because only the people of God should be going into the wilderness, right? The others are going to stay by the flesh pots, okay? But satellites are commonly called angels. And Sky Angel is a satellite network. There is a Road Angel satellite navigation system that the military has had a program since 2004 called Autonomous Nanosatellite Guardian Evaluating Local Space, or ANGELS, they called it for short. Isn't that sweet? Awesome. To watch over the U.S. Now, here's an update. That was way back there. But my update is, now that they're putting up 40,000-plus Starlink satellites that blanket the globe to overrule the deep state satellites. So that's what they're doing now. In fact, you can look up and see them because they're in near-Earth orbit. You can see those lights passing over, and sometimes a string of them passing over. So, there's also a digital angel. This was, again, written back then, which has designed microchips readable from satellite for the beast system. And it'll be no different with these, with this new satellite system. Why would it be any different? Three angels in Revelation 14, 6 through 9, preach the gospel and warn of judgment and the fall of Babylon, and the mark of the beast from mid-heaven. And all of this before the middle of the tribulation. So, you see, the angels, the birds, the planes, all have this symbolism. Okay, we believe the Lord would have us use these satellite angels to reach the population of Earth with this same message, and will guide them to the wilderness refuge. Satellites are also commonly called birds, as I've said. Revelation 12 and 13 says, "And when the dragon saw that he was cast down to the earth, he persecuted the woman that brought forth the man-child." Well, this is what we're seeing now, is the dragon of Babylon. Babylon's god was a dragon. Yeah. And of course, we can see that Babylon is being cast down to the earth. He had a lot of dominion through the deep state. It was a satanic and is a satanic organization of organized crime around the world, forcing people who thought that they were in some kind of a democracy to do their will. And these criminals, of course, are considering the people their servants and ignorant. Well, now who's ignorant? Because obviously the Lord has decided to bring this down. He brought people into Babylon, under Babylon, because they rebelled against God, and now he's having mercy for a period of time. So we know that the dragon here in Revelation 12 and 13, he persecuted the woman that brought forth the man child. Yes, they hate the man child. The demons hate the man child. And the people in whom the demons live hate the man child. And they hate the woman. And they're going to do anything they can to keep the real gospel from getting to the woman. But that's not possible. And there were given to the woman the two wings of the great eagle, representing overcoming the world, right? That she might fly into the wilderness unto her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and a half a time. And as you know, that's 3.5 years. And from the face of the serpent. We also have a link here about refuge ministry to the world. Yes. I was listening to someone talk about, where is the wilderness? We have to go to the wilderness. We don't know exactly where it is. It's far less geographical than it is circumstantial. The wilderness is any place where you are learning to trust in God for your provision. And you are following God, you know, like they were in the wilderness. So, back to Vanessa's dream. I received by faith at random for this dream Proverbs 1 and 2 in context 1 through 6. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Solomon, of course, was the Prince of Peace. Solomon, Prince of Peace, the son of David, who Jesus was too, by the way, called himself the son of David. But he was also sitting upon David's throne, right? So, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the words of understanding, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness and justice and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion, that the wise man may hear and increase in learning, and that the man of understanding may attain unto the sound counsels, to understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Okay, so this is what it is to preach from heavenly places to God's people. This is, I would say, a step up here from the norm that we're used to. The old order that we're used to, this anointing that's coming is going to be bringing forth the wisdom like it was from the mouth of Jesus. They hung on his every word, those who loved wisdom and discernment and wanted to walk in his steps were his disciples, learners and followers. So she said, as I read these verses, I thought the broadcasts are for the simple to become wise. And I believe this victory is also Proverbs 1 and 5, that the wise man may hear and increase in learning. Of course, of course. And the man-child is going to be just like that. He is in type a son of David. Remember that Jesus was a son of David. And inside was the Son of God. And of course we know that inside us is the Son of God if his word lives in us, right? That is the Son of God. And so we've got a very similar situation. The difference is God had to go to body. You know, Jesus was an individual at the beginning, but then he turned into a body of people. That's not just a type for Jesus and his body, his corporate body, but everything else is becoming corporate bodies. And when you see this, you're going to see an explosion of understanding. concerning the things that are coming and where they're coming. It's okay if it's over there, way over there, but it's not. It's right here, you see. It's not going to be way over there. We all have these entities around us. I asked the Lord for a word about why the broadcasts are now hidden, and I received by faith at random, Jeremiah 22 and 30. Thus saith the Lord, write ye this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days. For no more shall a man of his seed prosper, sitting upon the throne of David and ruling in Judah. What God is saying is he's taking it away from the apostate leadership, like he did Zedekiah when Babylon conquered them. He's taking it away from the apostate leadership and he's giving it to the people that have fruit. This man couldn't bear fruit. He said, write this man childless, meaning he had no fruit. So no fruitless person shall sit on the throne of the David man-child body in our day, is what he's saying. I also asked for a word about David saying, I'm in, and received by faith at random Acts 2:22. In context, 2:22 through 24. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God unto you by mighty works and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, even as ye yourselves know, him being delivered up by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye by the hands of lawless men did crucify and slay. Well, now we know, of course, that the Judas, sons of perdition, and their Pharisees, and the beast government joined together to spiritually crucify the spiritual sons of David in our day. Yeah. Verse 24. Whom God raised up, having loosed the pangs of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Yes, God will make sure of that, as he did in Jesus' day. Jesus will come again, as he said, to repeat his history, in the body of the spiritual David reformers, to sit on the throne of David as his father promised. What did he promise? There would never lack to be a seed of David sitting upon the throne of David. When what? When God's people were obeying him. Oh, yeah, there's a condition there. So we see it's happening again. Ecclesiastes 1:9-10, that which hath been is that which shall be, and that which hath been done is that which shall be done. And the word of God can't be broken, right? That's right. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereby it may be said, see, this is new? No, it hath been long ago in the ages which were before us. This is so true. So Jesus spoke about this, his going forth again in this repeat of history in John 16:16-22. A little while, and you behold me no more. And of course, that was the crucifixion. And again, a little while, and you shall see me. So, and also, this has a parallel of the end times, because you'll find out in just a minute. So, Jesus is going to come again as word and spirit manifested in a body of spiritual Davids. Some of his disciples therefore said one to another, what is this that he saith unto us, a little while, and you behold me not, and again a little while, and you shall see me? and because I go to the Father. They said, therefore, what is this that he saith a little while? We know not what he saith. And Jesus perceived that they were desirous to ask him. And he said unto them, do you inquire among yourselves concerning this, that I said a little while, and you behold me not, and again a little while, and you shall see me? Well, let me say, again a little while, we're going to see him, is talking about in the book of Revelation chapter 12, where the man-child is born to the woman church. Yeah. Verse 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you that you shall weep and lament, and that's because of his death, but the world shall rejoice. You shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. And that's because of his resurrection. He had a resurrection back there for his individual life, and now there's going to be a resurrection of the corporate body of David, the repeat of history. Remember, history always has to be repeated. And what God told me years ago, it's always repeated with a larger, on a larger scale. Each individual represents more people. 21. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow, because her hour is come. But when she is delivered of the man-child, she remembers no more the anguish for the joy that a man is born into the world. Oh, so we look all the way through the book to look for this situation, and you don't find it until you get to Revelation 12. And by the way, Revelation 12 is not past, it's future. John was said, come up hither, and I will show you the things that will come to pass hereafter. Ah, so that's not literally Jesus. It's Jesus in a man-child body, the son of David. Verse 22 goes on to say, and ye therefore now have sorrow, because Jesus was going away. But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no one taketh away from you. Amen. And where is that? Well, it's right here in Revelation 12, 1 through 5. And a great sign was seen in heaven. Remember, this was future to John, not past. This is the repetition of history. And by the way, it's in the midst of the text of the end time, 7-year tribulation, for goodness sake. So, I mean, you know, that's not where Jesus was born. Okay. And a great sign was seen in heaven, a woman arrayed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she was with child, and she cried out, travailing in birth, and in pain to be delivered. And there was seen another sign in heaven, behold, a great red dragon. These signs, of course, are up there in the stars, as we know, and that's about to be fulfilled again, by the way, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his heads 7 diadems. And you know this is an end time because the 7 heads started back with Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, Rome, revived Rome, all the way down through the legs of Daniel's vision and the 10 toes at the end. A complete cross-section of history. And these beasts represented the people of the world, right? And at the end time, by the way, they're all there in all the 10 toes. They're all there. The seed of them. Daniel said their dominion was taken away, but their lives were prolonged, meaning their seed continued on and multiplied. So, and we have them all in the UN today, which you will find ultimately will be a beast. And his tail draweth a third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. This is Abraham's seed, a great falling away. And the dragon standeth before the woman that is about to be delivered, that when she is delivered, he may devour her child. And she was delivered of a son, a man-child, who is to rule all the nations with the rod of iron. By the way, in Revelation, he quoted this, using it to speak of overcomers. Everybody says, oh, it's got to be Jesus. Well, it is Jesus. It's Jesus in his overcomers. Don't you know that Christ is in you unless you indeed are reprobate, as the scripture says, right? So, this is talking about the overcomers. And her child was caught up unto God and unto his throne. And then you went, and this, by the way, he tells you, you're going into the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. This has nothing to do with the original physical Jesus, except that he now lives in his people. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And the first fruits to manifest Christ in you, the hope of glory, is the man-child reformer ministry, whose job it is to bring this, that's right, to God's people. They want it too. So Vanessa prayed, thank you, Father, for the victory in Jesus and the wisdom you gave to David and his seed. True. Well, we know that he's coming again. Here's another revelation given to Vanessa, Weeks 8:15-21. He's coming on the clouds as Trump returns. Ooh. That could be close, huh? Yes. I don't forget now. They didn't recognize him for who he was when he came the first time. And they're not going to recognize him for who he is the second time. Because history must repeat. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Zelotes, all the denominations of their day, did not recognize him. Individuals did recognize him, but the demonizations, I call them, did not recognize him, and they won't. So, just keep that in mind. So, we named this, he's coming on the clouds as Trump returns. And Vanessa said, this dream was very real. I dreamed I was sitting on the steps outside of our apartment. It was a very hot day. Well, we know that things are heating up in the natural and in the spirit realm. The battle for planetary rule and for the elect of God are intensifying as Satan knows this time is very short. Yep. And he's going to be what? Cast down to the earth. Yes. A cool breeze was coming over me. I believe this was representing the coming great revival with the anointing of the man-child ministers. People are going to be excited to listen to this anointing and to see this anointing in the signs and wonders and miracles that are going to go forth, just as it was in Jesus' day. And it felt really good. This breeze was coming from the east, where I was looking. I was looking at a large white cloud, and I saw a house on this cloud. It was a ranch-style house with red brick. We believe this is probably representing the refuge ranch where all the animals were running from the destruction of the beast in my dream years ago. Yeah. And that's very interesting. I know that that dream is for these days. The red brick represents that the house is covered by the Passover blood of the Lamb, Jesus. Yes, in that particular revelation, I was in a house with the Father, who was symbolized by a gray-haired man sitting at his desk, and he was writing out a check to me to take care of his people. And I looked out the window and saw that flooding onto the property were all of these animals, which, as you know, represent the Gentile church, as Peter was shown, right? Flooding onto the property, and beyond them, out there, beyond them and beyond the bounds of the property, there was every kind of disaster going on. And they were flooding onto the property. Well, let me say this, that a refuge is anywhere you are when you're in God's will. Leaving the world and entering into wilderness is a way of not depending upon Babylon anymore, or Egypt and its provision anymore, or humbling yourself to the natural man anymore. You know, that's what wilderness was to them. I started to sing a song out of our songbook from the meetings. He's coming on the clouds. Kings and kingdoms will bow down. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Yes, who can stop Jesus from coming in his man-child reformers to free the church from Babylonish bondage? We just received by faith at random Isaiah 42, 6 and 7. And it says this, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thy hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light to the Gentiles, to open blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Does that sound familiar to you? It really reminds me that of Jesus' first sermon text and what follows this for the raising up of the bride, because he went from that sermon text on to go out and call the bride. John the Baptist said, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom, right? He called his bride to him. Going to do it again. So it reminds me of this text here. That was Jesus' first sermon text, right? Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Think man-child here. Think a repetition of history here. Jesus, and then the same prophecy is true of the man-child in the end times, right? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. There it is again. And the opening of prison to them that are bound. Yes, again, the same thing. And of course, that's the job of the man-child, to set people free, especially from religious bondage, which they were in Jesus' day and they are in our day. Not one denomination recognized Jesus. And none of them will this time either, because denominationalism is a work of the flesh, as the Bible tells us in Galatians. Okay? Two, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Oh, glory be to God. Yes, the Lord's favor. Jesus went about doing good, healing all who was oppressed of the devil. They didn't deserve it, but it was favor. It was grace. That's right, grace. He gave uncommon grace to the people. He healed, he delivered, he taught, he multiplied the food, etc., etc. And this part wasn't, Jesus didn't preach this part in his day, because it's happening in our day. The day of vengeance of our God. Okay, so This proclamation is going to be made by the man-child in our day. Just as Moses proclaimed the judgment on Egypt till God's people were out, right? To comfort all that mourn. The bride's in mourning because of the persecution of the wicked against the bride, the faction, which is in the church and in the government. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. There it is. Zion was called the bride by the angel to John in the book of Revelation. To give unto them a garland for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. In other words, he's taking away their mourning and giving them the oil of joy. He's taking away their ashes, giving them a garland. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Taking away their heaviness, giving them this garment of praise. That they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. There's the epiphania, the epiphany, the shining forth from. You know, we behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord and are transformed into that same image from glory to glory as from the Lord the Spirit. And that is star glory, moon glory, sun glory. The glory is that shining forth, that brightness shining forth. That's the coming of the Lord. Remember, Jesus said he was going to come at the latter rain on the morning of the third day, Hosea 6, 2, and 3. They're not recognizing that he is coming that way. He is coming. To repeat history, he's coming in a body of the Son of David, spiritually speaking. So, I asked the Lord, she said, for a word by faith at random about this scene of the house, and received Ezekiel 40 and 47. And he measured the court 100 cubits long and 100 cubits broad, 4 square, and the altar was before the house. Well, Barry, Vanessa's husband, said, I see the altar as where Vanessa was worshiping the Lord in song. Jesus is coming in the clouds on his final return. On the other hand, this house seemed to be the United States government, which will be restored for a time as we lay our lives down on our own altars. But in time, only God's kingdom will stand. This is true, as Daniel 2:44 says. And in the days of those kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, nor shall the sovereignty thereof be left to another people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms. It shall stand forever. Yes, kings and kingdoms will bow down. So God is setting up his kingdom in the midst of the kingdoms, and they are going to conquer it because of prayer and faith and the authority that has been given unto them. Then I saw a tall flagpole in the front yard, and to the left of the house, with the American flag. So, being in the front yard means that this event is soon to come. It's in the near future, right? Front yard is like future. And when I saw that, I knew that God was bringing President Trump back now. In parenthesis, she asked, is the man-child Jesus coming on the clouds as Trump is coming back? Yeah, clouds of people he's coming with. He said that one time in Revelation. Yes, he's coming physically on the clouds at the end, other end of the tribulation. Then I looked to the right and I saw a small jet, very sleek, and it was ahead of the house, but flying in the same direction. So it was leading the house in heavenly places. It was like none I have ever seen. It seemed to be hovering in the sky. And I could see into this jet because it had glass on the whole side of that side of the jet that I was looking at. And I saw a few people in this jet. I asked for a word about this jet and received by faith at random 2 Corinthians 4 and 13. In context, 13 and 14. But having the same spirit of faith according to that which is written, I believed, and therefore did I speak. We also believe, and therefore also we speak. I remember a thin man dressed in a suit with a briefcase, and I thought he had business to do. Like Randy, the accountant in Missy's dream that we're going to share with you next. He turned out to be the Lord. Yeah. I also remember a blonde woman with long hair. I believe this represents the bride. We see the bride having long blonde hair in quite many revelations, and that it, your hair is a sign of submission, and the blondness is submission to the sun. Because how many of you know the sun can blonde hair and even white hair, okay? I asked the Lord for a word about what business this man had to do and received by faith at random. Proverbs 3 and 1. In context 1 through 4. My son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace will they add to thee. Let not kindness and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tablet of thy heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Amen. The word of God will lengthen your life. Many of God's people are destroyed for lack of understanding. I mean, many, most seem to be going home far ahead of time because they don't believe what the word clearly says. At this point, Barry and I were in our car and he was driving. We were going parallel to this plane. And I was telling Barry that we were going as fast as the jet since it was going so slow that it was like it was hovering. Well, of course, the house was following the jet, so it couldn't be going any faster than the house, right? The Lord is leading his people to a wilderness experience. Then it took off at warp speed, and then I woke up. Well, God's plans for his end-time church are about to be accelerated because we're running out of time for the anointed man-child to come because he has to be here for the beginning of the tribulation. Yeah. And to fit, there's a whole scale of timings that have to move together because history has to be repeated. Okay, so the next revelation that we were talking about, we called it Man-Child Shepherd Coming with a New Economy. Yes, Missy Pollock got this. 9-14-21. Just a little background info before I relate this dream. My boy's great uncle, Randy, died several years ago at the age of 53 of a massive stroke. He used to be a certified public accountant in an accounting firm. with my boy's father. In the dream, Randy was back. Ooh, resurrected, huh? And I was so happy to see him. Randy means wolf shield. He represents Jesus in the man-child, the shepherd who protects the sheep from the wolves, or the apostate leadership in the church. Randy, being an accountant, represents Jesus being given authority by the Father to demand an account of the nations righteously. John 5:26-30 says this, "For as the Father hath life in himself, even so gave he the Son also to have life in himself. And he gave him authority to execute judgment, because he is a Son of Man." By the way, most people would think it would be because he is a Son of God. But no, God gave authority over the earth to man. He told man to go out and to rule. And of course, they lost that authority by the falling away. His servants you are whom you obey. So that authority was stolen. But Jesus came to regain that authority. And so he came in this body of a Son of Man, right? And verse 30 says, "I can of myself do nothing; as I hear, I judge. My judgment is righteous, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." Amen. That's what we have to do to find God's perfect will, is to desire his will more than ours. We were outside with other people around, and it was dark, representing a time of spiritual darkness in the world. He told me that he is here to do a job. As we were talking, he was walking away from me because he didn't have time to talk. He needed to get going. Well, I had a little joke here. Even Jesus in the man-child thinks Missy talks too much. He was walking away. She was talking. Just laugh. Just an inside joke. And when the man-child Jesus is manifested in his man-child ministers, he will be focused with a single eye, without distraction, on the mission that the Father has sent him to do, just as he was the first time that he came. I told him I knew what it was that he had to do. He asked me what I thought it was, and I told him I couldn't say because there were other people around, and I was thinking that they shouldn't hear this. Well, it's true. It's hidden from some people. It's hidden from a lot of people. They're not going to know why he's here, and if it's him, and what he's going to do. Yes, it has to be hidden. I knew he was here to help get the new economic system started. Oh. I asked the Lord if I understood this correctly in the dream, and he gave me 5 heads for a yes. The resurrected, anointed man-child uses the authority he's been given to do what President Trump and the alliance hasn't been able to do yet. Okay, I've said this for a long time, that God's not going to permit man to get this glory. It's going to be God that does it. And here is a revelation of it right here. I believe, she says, what the Lord is showing us is that the man-child will be anointed before Jesara Nasara is implemented. I believe that's true. And I believe I'll share a testimony of that in a moment. God is going to get the glory for taking care of the deep state that has been doing everything they can to keep Jesara Nasara from starting. Yes, including bring down 911. That was what they did that time to stop it. And they're doing kill-offs of people now to stop it. We've had several other dreams that the man-child anointing comes right before the Jisara-Nisara financial reset. I agree. We know that in Daniel, that the king anointed Daniel head over the kingdom on the night when Cyrus Trump was coming in to take over. Yeah, on the very night. Well, it was Cyrus who gave this new monetary system and provided for the building of the temple and so on. And so they went back to rebuild the kingdom that had been torn down by Babylon, right? So the man-child will come before the new economy gets going good, I believe. And Randy left in the cover of the darkness of night. And God is going to hide the man-child ministries and his plan from the enemy and the deep state. Their eyes will be veiled, just as it was when the enemies of Jesus came after him to harm him in any way, and he disappeared or was hidden from them. Yeah, history will repeat. The verse that I received by faith at random for Randy underlined is where my finger came down, Acts 13 and 1, in context 1 through 3. Now there were at Antioch in the church that was there prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen. Manaen means comforter. So this could mean that the man-child is anointed here with the comforter, right? Jesus said that he would send us another comforter, meaning, of course, that he was a comforter. He will send us another comforter, the Holy Spirit. So there was Manaen, the foster brother of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." So there's a calling here, and they're going to anoint them with the Holy Spirit. Just as the man-child has been doing his job here, much like David in the wilderness with the sheep, but he didn't have the king's anointing yet, it was coming. The Father doesn't send anyone to do the work of the ministry without them being filled with the Holy Spirit and sanctified. And when the man-child is anointed with the Holy Spirit, his ministry begins just as it was with Jesus. Then when they had fasted and prayed and laid hands on them for the anointing, right, they sent them away. Amen. For who I represent, I ask for a word, Isaiah 62 and 7, in context 6 through 9. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that are the Lord's remembrancers, take ye no rest, and give him no rest, until he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. That's what the man-child comes to do, is rebuild Jerusalem in the temple, right? Jerusalem being the bride, the temple being the house of God inside the bride. That's how it initially comes, in the bride, right? The Lord has sworn by his right hand, and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give thy grain to be food for thine enemies, and foreigners shall not drink thy new wine, for which thou hast labored. But they that have garnered it shall eat it, and praise the Lord, and they that have gathered it shall drink it in the courts of my sanctuary. Amen. These verses represent a turn around in the prosperity for the bride, who the angel told John was Jerusalem. Yes, God is going to prosper his bride. They've gone through a crucifixion at the hands of the faction, and now they're going to be blessed. When the Lord returns, his recompense is before him, and his reward is with him. Jesus is coming to lead the bride through the wilderness again. All right? I asked the Lord why the people in the dream shouldn't hear what it was that Randy was here to do, and I received by faith at random Psalm 28, 3 through 9. Draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity that speak peace with their neighbors, but mischief is in their hearts. Just like it was with Jesus and the Pharisees and the scribes, you know, they always testing him, always trying to make him stumble and so on and so forth. And it was the other way around. Give them according to their work, and according to the wickedness of their doings. Give them after the operation of their hands. Render to them their desert. Let me say, when Jesus came, you know, in Matthew 13, he reprobated many of the people of God. He said, to you it's been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them it is not given. He was hiding it from them. Because they regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands. They had no intent of obeying what they were going to hear. So he spoke to them in parables. He will break them down and not build them up. Verse 9. Save thy people and bless thine inheritance. Be their shepherd also and bear them up forever. Amen. For the dream, I received 1 Chronicles 28 and 20, in context 20 through 21. And David said to Solomon his son, there you go, the one who is going to sit upon the throne to build the kingdom, right? Be strong and of good courage, and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed. For the Lord God, even my God, is with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until all the work of the service of the house of the Lord be finished. And behold, there are the courses of the priests and the Levites for all the service of the house of God. And there shall be with thee all manner of work, every willing man that hath skill or any manner of service. Also, the captains and all the people will be holy at thy commandment. Well, the man-child David's need this new economy to plunder Egypt for the building of God's kingdom. You remember Moses, who was the David of that time, was told by the Lord after the Passover to ask of their neighbor gold and silver, which was given unto them. And then they marched the 7 days to the Red Sea and crossed the Red Sea into the wilderness. So the provision was made, okay? So the Lord can have a great end-time harvest during the tribulation. And we say, come, Lord Jesus. Come in your man-child. So this is a revelation given to Marie Kelton, 7:23-21. The voice of many waters. What is God's voice like today? Well, he speaks through his body today. Yeah. During the Friday night meeting, while we were praising and worshiping the Lord, he gave me an open vision of himself standing in all white. He was really tall. The Lord's eyes were like a flame of fire. He had white hair, and his mouth was moving, but I couldn't hear anything that he was saying. Then I heard the words, "the voice of a multitude." So Jesus was, there was no sound coming out of Jesus' mouth. It was the voice of a multitude. The body is the one that's going to speak his voice in these coming days. Who is it that's manifested the body of Christ? Because in the body of Christ is Christ. The first ones to manifest what we all receive by faith is the man-child ministry. They are the ones to manifest the body of Christ, and the word of God shall come forth out of them first, and then the bride, and on down, right? So the white horse rider represents a corporate body of Jesus in his man-child ministers. Hence, a multitude will speak his word, which is represented by water, the voice of many waters. This verse came to me after the vision, Revelation 1, 14 and 15. And his head and his hair were white as wool, white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto burnished brass, as if it had been refined in a furnace, and his voice as the voice of many waters. That's many voices coming forth from the Lord, and the water is the word, right? Many people speaking the word. At first it was only Jesus speaking the word. He was the man-child, but then that word got into his disciples, and then they spake the word, and on and on and on. So we know that this text is speaking of his coming at the end of the tribulation, but it also fits this time too in Revelation 19, 11 through 13. Listen. And I saw the heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat thereon called Faithful and True. And in righteousness does he judge and make war. And his eyes are a flame of fire. There it is. And upon his head many diadems or crowns. And he hath a name written which no one knoweth but he himself. And he is arrayed in a garment sprinkled with blood. And his name is called the Word of God. So why do I say that it's good for at the end of the tribulation and good at the beginning of the tribulation? It's very simple. God is perfecting two groups of people. The first group is running through a very similar parallel. The first group is the man-child and the bride. They've been coming to their crucifixion. They've been coming to their crucifixion and been being crucified. And the second group is the church, the body. These were the head, but this is the body. So what happens to the head happens to the body. But the head has to come to perfection first so it can teach the body. So, and then this Deb Horton's revelation here, the voice of the turtle dove. Deb said, check this out. The Shulamite bride and the dragon beast will appear together at the beginning of the tribulation, and neither will be recognized for what they are by the masses. This is true. They've got it all wrong because God did not give them the interpretation of it. They're looking at the letter and they're still spouting letter. The letter killeth, the spirit giveth life. So why? Well, because the bride has died to self to bring forth the man-child. The Song of Solomon in chapter 2 and verse 12 says, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. Praise the Lord. Yes, the turtle dove is the bride company, the Shulamite, or perfected one is what Shulamite means in the Song of Solomon. Psalm 74:19. O deliver not the soul of thy turtle dove unto the wild beast. Well, that's true. We know from all the revelations that we're getting and the scriptures itself that the Shulamite bride will not be delivered to the dragon beast of Revelation 12. Or the beast later, right? A turtle dove is listed as an acceptable sacrifice in Leviticus 12 and 6. And when the days of her purifying are fulfilled for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring a lamb a year old for a burnt offering, and a young pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering, unto the door of the tent of the meeting unto the priest. So the bride has been crucified, died to self, and will reconcile many people to the Lord, being raised up by the man-child. Remember, Jesus put so much into these first disciples, turning them into apostles and sending them forth to raise up the fivefold ministry. By the way, if you do a little studying on that, you'll find out that apostles are the ones who ordain fivefold ministers. Bible colleges don't do that. In the Bible, they didn't. They can't do it now. They don't have the authority. So there's lots of people out there that are claiming to be somebody, and they were never ordained by anybody. Or they were ordained by a dead religion, and so on and so forth. There's many apostates sitting on the throne of David, of which we have already addressed. God said, that's not going to happen anymore. Okay? So be encouraged. I'll share this one verse here with you that we also received by faith at random, Psalm 107, 41 through 43. Yet setteth he the needy on high from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock. The upright shall see it and be glad, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise will give heed to these things, and they will consider the loving kindnesses of the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. There's some awesome days coming, folks. We're going to see the days of Jesus again. Isn't that awesome? We're going to see them again. And we're going to see the great signs and wonders and miracles again. And what better day than now, when so many people are dying and they're trying to cover their tracks and cover it all up, and so many people are being used to kill people, forcing this very evil vaccine on the people. Well, when Jesus came, you remember that there were a lot of sick folk, even dead people that needed resurrecting. And Jesus came and he did this job and all eyes were upon him. This is how God has designed this thing. You know, it's the one who has that anointing and speaks those words of the Spirit of God that God wants people to hear. He doesn't want them to hear, the Pharisees, Sadducees, and all these people. He wants them to hear. So he's going to confirm their word with signs and wonders following. And people are going to pay attention. We know that no man ever opened the eyes of one born blind, it was said. You know, he did miracles that were never seen among the people. And so it's going to be today. In fact, Jesus said, greater works than these shall you do because I go to the Father. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. That's how you know a disciple of Christ. You do not know a disciple of Christ by the religion and what placard they have over the door. Jesus said, these signs will accompany them that believe. Jesus spoke to believers. It wasn't Christians. The people called them Christians because they did what Jesus did and they said what Jesus said. So they called them Christians. And this was true. But it's not true today because nobody believes that anymore. Even though it's in the Word and we're warned in the Word itself, don't add to these words or I'll add to you the plagues that are written in this book. Don't take away the words of this life or I'll take away your part from the tree of life. Even though stern warnings like that were given, they still do just exactly that. Because those words are powerful. Those words that he gave have the power of life. The disciples said to him, "Where else can we go, Lord? You have the words of life." Wow. You know, that was John 6:66, where he said, "Except you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no life in you." And they thought, that's a hard saying. And so a bunch of them left at that time. John 6:66, a falling away. The mark of the beast. They depended more upon the mind of the flesh and the works of the flesh than they did on the Lord. So, here we go. The same thing, history's going to repeat. And guess what? Even with history repeating, they will not recognize it. Jesus said he had hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed it unto babes. We have to come to him like a babe, trusting in our Father. Amen. Trusting in his word. People are trusting in men now. Denominations, Bible colleges. The Pharisees had a Bible college. Jesus' Bible college was out there sitting on a rock teaching the disciples. And so it is today, and so it will be in the future. They didn't need huge temples, very expensive temples, to teach the people of God. Now we know that the man child, Jesus, went into some of their, you know, buildings to teach them the word until he couldn't do that anymore. And it'll be in that way in these days too. God is weak to the weak. He wants to meet his people's needs. But these preachers are come outers. They are people who are not in the normal business of Christianity. And to the biggest extent, what Jesus did was to avoid the leadership in most cases, even sent his disciples out to preach, street preachers, preaching to people who didn't have all the elaborate money and setups of organized religion, didn't have the Bible colleges, didn't have any letters behind his name, so on and so forth. And it's no different. It's going to be a reformation of a people following Jesus, following in his steps, emulating him, not emulating the ties and the suits and the steeples. And those are people that are idolaters. Idolaters. They're emulating man and what they think is great in Christianity today. You would think these people have never read the book. And in most cases, they haven't. I'll tell you what happens. I know what happens. The preacher says one thing. They read in their book and they see something else. If they're idolaters, first thing they do is, well, they just kind of skip over that when they read and they continue reading. That passed away. You know, that passed away with the apostles. Is that anything like taking away from the word? Or adding to the word? Well, of course it is. And he said that they were going to be cut off for what they had done. So there is a great falling away. It's because men honored men instead of the Lord, the Word of God. Now, saints, we need to get back to the Word. A lot of people have put their trust in men. Cursed is the man that trusts in man and maketh the flesh his arm, the Bible says. Cursed, cursed. So there are a lot of people following men. They even believe that now Jesus heals by doctors. No, he never did that in the Bible. And Luke wasn't a physician either. The word is healer, iatros, healer. Same kind of healer that Jesus was. And the rest of the apostles were healers. They just spoke the word by faith. These signs will accompany them that believe. Them that believe, they'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Do you believe it? And Jesus said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them, in literal, and you shall have them. If you really believe that, you wouldn't trust in man. Now look what trusting in man is doing. God is giving us an awesome demonstration of how much death can be sent forth from deceiving men. And how even the whole administration of hospitals and the medical field can follow and cooperate with the death of so many. Because there's money in it, big money, being paid big money to do what they do. So, of course, they don't want to listen to the truth. Well, Lord, you can see, Lord, they've ruined your world. The apostates have taken authority and run with it. And, Lord, we need you so bad. Lord, we invite you to come, Lord Jesus. Give us, again, a reformation. Come, Lord Jesus. Speak your words out of many waters, many tongues, many leaves. The stomata is the tongue. Little mouths, they were called, in the leaves, little mouths underneath the leaves that sent forth oxygen, which is the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and sent forth water, which is the Word of God. So there'll be many mouths speaking for the Lord here. Great revival is coming. As the dry bones revelation comes to life. Great revival. People who were dead and will be alive. I'm talking spiritually dead and will come alive when they hear the truth. When the truth is spoken to them. Glory to God. Glory to God. Lord, we thank you so much for what you're doing in these days. We still love your word so much. We wouldn't think of holding anything that man says above your word. And Lord, you taught us that the sum of thy words is truth, which is what the original says. The sum of thy words is truth. Lord, it's all got to be believed in whatever form or fashion it is, whether it's Old Testament or New Testament. It's all got to be believed. We're not under the law, but we translate the law and into grace, and we fulfill the law by living under grace. Oh, glory be to God. So it all works together. And, of course, the moral law in the Old Testament is still moral. And ceremonial law has to be translated, of course, into the New Testament, as Jesus and his disciples did. They translated it. Lord, thank you for what you're doing. We want you to come again and do it again for us, Lord. Do the signs and wonders. Many people are dying, Lord. Many people are dying. We ask you, it was in your day too, Jesus. People were dying and people were sick. And God had prepared for you a demonstration to give to the world that you are still a saving and healing God. Yes, they said it all passed away with the apostles. How ignorant they are. They won't listen to anybody who is a witness of these things, knows that it's totally wrong. So, Lord, we thank you for doing this. We thank you for your great demonstration, this great revival that's coming. We're looking forward to it. We know that Trump's about to go back into office, and they're about to overthrow the false vote count. And, Lord, we just thank you for it. In Jesus' name. All right, saints. God bless you and keep you. We'll do this again sometime.